If you could please turn your Bibles to Genesis 40. We'll be reading from Genesis 40. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern him with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." He refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or to lie with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to make a sport of us. He came in to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went inside." So she left this garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him in jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Amen. Sorry for my voice. I'm pretty much starting to lose it. Before I begin, I should probably quickly apologize for yesterday. I had what typically people would call a Monday morning brain fart. I had a Tuesday morning brain fart. Moses was not the firstborn son, and the Levites were not yet God's chosen people to be priests. But I think in my joy, in light of those things, I kind of brought it from, you know, Exodus backwards after realizing what Moses was going to do and the call that God had on the Levites. But just to correct myself, so it's not falsely teached. Anyway, so this is an excerpt in the story of Joseph, and Joseph basically spans the last 10 chapters or so, in the 10 to 11 chapters or so in the Old Testament. And if I was to quickly recap Joseph's story to us, we can remember God gives Joseph two dreams. The first was him and his brothers were in the field, and they were gathering sheaf, and then his sheaf rose up, and his brother's sheaves gathered around his sheaf and bowed down to him. And so what happened after God gave him that dream, he ended up telling his brothers, and his brothers basically got angry with him, saying, "What, so you think we're going to bow down to you?" And obviously Joseph was already the younger brother of all of them, so they were like, "What the heck? You know, you're the youngest of us all, and you're telling us we're going to bow down to you?" And then the next night, God gives Joseph another dream, and this time he sees the sun and the moon and then 10 stars bowing down to Joseph. And he basically relates it to his family again, and he says, well, I saw in my dream that my mother and my father and, you know, all 10 of you guys bow down to me. And obviously, you know, Pastor Benjamin Robinson talked about this too. It wasn't the smartest idea. Joseph was not somebody with the greatest discernment. His brothers already hated him because he was already a favorite. And so what does he do? He does it even more. He rubs it in his face, and it causes them to end up hating him. And so what happens is they go and feed the sheep one day, and they take them to graze, and his father tells him to go find them. He goes and finds them, and they plot against him when he's walking towards him. And he says, hey, let's kill the guy. But because of Reuben says, hey, let's not kill him. What good is it for us to kill him? Let's just sell him off as a slave. And they end up selling him off for 20 silver. And now this is how he ends up in Potiphar's house, and this is how we end up in chapter 39. And so when we take a look at the story, we now in 39 realize he's now in jail. God has his favor is upon him, and because his favor is upon him, he does everything well. Now, before I go, I kind of teach on what 39 is about. We know after 39, he goes on to interpret the dreams of the wardens and the jailers. And after he interprets the dreams of the jailers, he actually gets put under the care of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh actually puts him under the care of the entirety of Egypt because he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And so we know God in all of Joseph's plan, all his will, is planning for Joseph to actually be in Egypt so he can save the Israelites. Because what's going to happen? Because there's going to be 7 great years of prosperity and 7 great years of famine. And so what God is doing is bringing Israel into Egypt to preserve his people so that they would not starve and basically waste away during the famine. So when we take a look at chapter 39, there's a few things that we can kind of draw conclusions of, and I'll try to keep it short, save my voice, and keep it short as well. We recognize that it was Joseph's indiscernment. It was Joseph's lack of discernment that got him into the situation in the first place. Even though God's will was to save the Israelites, I mean, we don't know if this really is the only way that God could have brought them into Egypt or whatnot, but we recognize that Joseph in his, you know, in some ways in his stupidity, got him into the situation, despite all that God wanted to do. Well, I mean, personally for me, this brings me a lot of hope. Because the first thing I always look at is, even in Joseph's idiocy and disobedience and indiscernment and failure, in God's sovereignty, God still brings redemption over his life and does the will of God. And through him, those in God's care still can be saved. And for me, I mean, this should be coming as great encouragement to us, because how many times have we walked away from God's will, or how many times have we disobeyed God's will, or how many times have we tried to kind of make our own way, failed at what we're doing, and yet God still brings redemption to our lives. And that's something I find that one of the most beautiful things, because when you know, even in Hebrews 11, we look at the many men of the Bible. You know, even whether it's Abraham or Moses or whatnot, or Joseph, they fail into God's will. If you think about it, they don't. Well, maybe not all of them fail into God's will, but all of them stumble into God's will. All of them are complaining. They don't know what to do. Some of them don't finish well. Not all of them are able to always act in the best of witness to God. And yet in Hebrews 11, when it talks about the hall of fame of the greatest man of the Bible, it's always talking about, you know, Abraham in faith did this, Moses in faith did this, you know. And so the redemptive nature of God kind of shines through and says, you know, it doesn't matter how you messed up, I'm still sovereign. And I will still use you and to bring redemption into the world. And so this should become as great encouragement to us. Now, does this mean that we should always just do whatever we want and wander wherever we want to go thinking God's going to do this? No, we shouldn't do that, right? We should always do our best to follow God, knowing that he has the best path for us. Despite in our disobedience, he still brings redemption. Now, obviously, Joseph didn't repent necessarily for what he did. I don't necessarily think he did something to sin. It was in discernment in this case that kind of brought him to the situation. But for us, I think a quick reminder for us is anytime we walk away from God's will, or we know that there's something that we're doing that's not necessarily within what we feel like God wants us to do, we should just repent and turn back, right? I mean, something I'm going to touch on a little bit later. We have the privilege of Joseph's story in the Bible to give us hindsight, right? Joseph didn't have this hindsight. And obviously, we don't have hindsight into our own lives. But with the hindsight that God is trying to do something through Joseph's life, even through his, you know, in some ways his idiocy and not necessarily always being in the will of God, this should really encourage us that we should be in the will of God. We should desire to be. Because even in his mistakes, God did an amazing thing through him. Now imagine if we could walk in the fullness of what God wanted us to do, how much greater could our lives be? How much greater could the will of God be experienced through us and by us and bring redemption of his kingdom to God's people? And so that's the first thing. Even in our disobedience, God is faithful. Now, the next thing I kind of want to notice or kind of bring to our attention is this, right? The second thing is, it was God with Joseph that brought him success. Now, if we take a look at chapter 39, verse 2 to 4, Pharaoh was, verse 40. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in charge. And then verses 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in jail, so that whatever was done, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I sound like the kid from The Simpsons. Would you like fries with that, sir? Anyway, so we recognize that it wasn't Joseph in anything that he did prior to the text saying that he did well, prior to the text saying that he was put in charge of anything. It was always God that was with Joseph. It was God's favor that lifted him up and brought him to the places of anointing that he ended up being in charge of these things. This is also a greater reminder to us as well in all that we do, right? It doesn't matter whether it's in our success, whether it looks coincidental, whether it's from people's praise, whatever the case may be, it is always God. Whether it's great success, whether it's minimal success, whether you end up doing amazing things with your life, or you know, whether you're like Reinhard Bonnke, 55 million people in Africa come to know the Lord, or whether it's one person on a Sunday, or whatever the case may be, right? Or you make millions of dollars, or trillions over the all of your lifetime, or you make nothing at all, it is still God's favor over our lives that brings this sort of success. And this is something we really need to recognize. Part of Joseph's journey was so that he could be humbled and in his humility to learn the things he needed to learn so that he can become the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And so in that, we should also recognize that we also need to learn this sort of humility. Now, I'm not saying that if we don't learn it, God won't bless us and whatnot. But remember, one of the greatest things that God cares about in our lives is our character. And the last thing that God is going to want to do is to make the blessings in our lives curses. Meaning, he's not going to bring the successes in our lives if he knows that those successes are simply going to take us from him. And so do you want that favor to fall and you want to be able to do the fullness of God's kingdom to come and to do all these things? Humble yourselves, humble ourselves early, and to simply submit ourselves to God. And this is not something, I mean, I'm not just speaking to you guys. I mean, even in my own life, I recognize it is in my humility. It was in those times that, you know, I realized there's nothing I can do for myself. In the times that I just said, God, this is you. You need to do it. That God moves. And this kind of brings me to a bit of a tangent too, right? Notice, it is God that moves. Right, obviously, the story started with Joseph's you know, lack of discernment, and it is in other people's sin, you know, in his lying that brings him into these places. But is always before the successes, it is God that moves. Now, in later on in this chapter, in chapter 40, and I won't read it. Remember, Joseph, in order for him to be brought before Pharaoh, he needs to interpret the dream of the warden. Remember, the guys that worked under Pharaoh was a chief baker and also the cupbearer. And so he interprets the dream of the cupbearer, and he tells the cupbearer, eventually you're going to go back into Pharaoh's good standing. And he interprets the dream of the chief baker, and he says, Pharaoh's basically going to kill you. It was because of those interpretations of dreams. Remember, he interprets it. 3 days later, the cupbearer goes back into the service of the Pharaoh. And so what happens exactly as Joseph prophesies. And then, but he says to the cupbearer, when this happens, remember me. Remember me, because you can get me out of this place. And then what happens? It says in the text, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And in chapter 41, now happened at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. Right? Now, I don't want to make any presumptions or anything. I'm simply from this text, what I'm seeing is this, right? Joseph obviously was anointed by God. And in the favor of God, he had the ability to do all of these things. And yet, what he was doing, what he didn't really recognize, what God was doing in him through this entire time. And so what he does is this. He uses the gifts of God to try to get himself where he wants to be. He interprets a dream and he says, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. Remember me in this time. Basically, I mean, if I was to put it in the modern day context, right? I mean, I've been in business, right? And if I was to do something well, you know, I make this huge sale, right? I could say to my boss, hey, don't forget me. You know, when one day when you get promoted, remember me, right? Remember me when I did. Remember what I've done for you. Remember me, right? So what Joseph is trusting here more than God is the success that he's had in his life. He's trusting that in the goodwill of people, that he's going to be removed from the suffering that he has. But nothing happens for 2 years. Nothing. Well, I mean, the text is not explicit about it, right? We don't know. Maybe God needed to continue to humble him in the 2 years. Maybe there was more that he needed to learn in the 2 years. Or maybe it was in God's good timing that Pharaoh needed to have the dream so his gift could be used, so he could be brought up. Whatever the case may be, Joseph, no matter how much he tried to negotiate, he couldn't do it. It had to be God that initiated the next steps for him. And so if I had to draw any conclusion for us, let God initiate your steps. I think something that we do a lot as people is when we're in situations, we want to initiate steps to get to the things God wants us to go to. I mean, God gives us promises, which is great, but we then take the promises into our own lives and say, okay, how can I use my good standing? How can I use the favor to get what it is that I desire? And we start ladder climbing rather than recognizing what God is doing in our situation now. And the dangerous thing about it is this, is we begin looking at the ladder so much that we forget we also have a purpose in the time that we have, in the spaces that we have now. And so we should always remember, let God initiate. And I don't want to make this like this blanket statement. I'm simply teaching from this text in this case. But I can say with safety that we should let God initiate. God is the one that brings these things to us, not ourselves. And so we should be careful not to use our situation to manipulate or to manipulate a situation to get what we want. Wait for God. Now, the last thing is simply this, right? God uses all our circumstances to prepare us, right? And this kind of goes back to Romans 8, 28 and 29, right? We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so we should simply trust God. I mean, this is the beautiful thing. Hindsight is always 20/20. We have the privilege of the Bible and many stories in the Bible that we can look to and draw conclusions to and see, oh yeah, You know, in Joseph's life, we recognize he descended into greatness. He had to go through all this suffering because God had all these great things for him at the end. But then when we look at our lives and we look at our own suffering, we seem to forget that God is in control. When we look at Joseph, oh yeah, yeah, I know God is in control. Oh yeah, I look at Abraham, he had to leave, you know, and then he had to come back, he had to lie, and he had to give up Isaac. I know, he had to go through all these trials, but God had a plan for him. But then when we look at us, we're going through a little bit of suffering. We say, God, what's going on? Why are you doing what we're doing? And we seem to forget God's sovereignty in all that happens in not just our lives, but all of life. And so, brothers and sisters, this is something that we should remember as a point of encouragement to us. Whether trial, whether success, whether difficulty or hardship. Now, I'm not making light of any situation or whatnot, but in all circumstances, God is sovereign. And so we should start living in the joy of understanding that, God, you are in control, and simply be faithful. And I mean, let me leave you kind of with one last personal example. Is, you know, at the beginning of this year, I really had this sense, and God kind of spoke to me, and it sounds a little bit ridiculous when I say this, because it's going to sound so arrogant and prideful, but whatnot, but I'm just going to share it. And basically, at the beginning of the year, I really felt God say, this is going to be a year of authority for me. I felt like he was saying that in some way, God was going to either raise up my authority, he was going to show me what it was going to be like. And so, you know, and Steph had kind of confirmed it too, like when Steph prayed, she had a dream, and she felt like this was going to be the case as well. And so at the beginning of the year, PSAM started talking about the year of authority, and we kind of had a meeting, we had a staff review, and I kind of shared with him. I was like, hey, PSAM, you know, as my spiritual leader, you know, I kind of want to share with you what I'm kind of sensing, and I want to know, you know, give me some feedback, what you think. And so I told him that, and basically he looked at me. I said, you know, PSAM, this is what I feel like. You know, it's going to be the year of authority. And I thought he was going to have this, like, huge revelation of, yeah, you know, this is what I feel for you, too. All these sort of, he was going to get excited for me, all these sort of things. He just looks at me in the eye, and he goes, it's great. Like, so nonchalant. Basically, basically what he was saying to me was, it's great. So what? So what? And so when I started asking him, I tried to probe a little bit more, hoping that I could get a little bit more wisdom, whatever the case is. I basically, he sits there, you know, he's just like, yeah, it's great. You know, not that he didn't care, right? But kind of like, so what? Right? And then at the end of it, he kind of looks at me. He's like, Ricky, this is great and all. You know, I'm glad this is what you're receiving. And I think this is where I really appreciate having someone who's not so enamored by visions and prophecies, is because he looks at me, he says, at the end of the day, Ricky, so what if this happens, right? God is going to be the one that does it anyway. So what is the important thing that you need to do in this time? And then he says, you know, obviously he says this thing at the time. It was so profound for me. I mean, now that I speak it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's obvious, right? But at the time, I was like, oh, yeah. He simply says, you know, the Bible says, right? He who is faithful with a little, much will be given. So why do you worry about so many prophecies? Why are you worrying about all these things? I mean, it's great to remember God's promises and to pray about them and pray through them. But just be faithful. God is going to be the one to do it. And then after he said that, you know, for the first time in my life, actually, it hit me with such profound revelation that I just released all the promises that God had ever given to me. You know, whether it was the word of authority or, you know, the schools or all these, or whatever the case is, I just say, all right, God, you know, I don't, if you do these things, great. If not, that's fine. I'm just going to serve SP and PSAM with whatever faithfulness as I can. I'm just going to be faithful in this place. And then what happens is, you know, Bob Johnson comes in, you know, gives me basically the princes and all these sort of things. And then 1 month later during the retreat, you know, Pastor Sun, he gives me the same thing. And I'm not saying to confirm or to try to lift myself up. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But in this experience, I really realized that chasing dreams and ladders and prophecies and all these things, they're great things, but that's not what God is looking for us to do. He simply wants us to be faithful. And in some way, I would even ask, right? If God has given you a great prophecy, in some ways, I do want to ask, so what? So what, right? If he's going to do it, he's going to do it for the glory of his name. He's going to do it for the glory of his kingdom. He's going to do it for the glory of his son. And when he does it, we will be blessed. And we know that God is faithful. So if he says it, it's going to happen anyway. And so our attitude should be, okay, God, thank you. I'm going to keep praying for it because I agree and I want it and I desire it. But my heart is to be faithful to you, not to chase those dreams and those visions. So let's close our eyes. So let's really respond to God this morning. Let's really thank him for all the blessings that are in our lives. Let's thank him for whatever it is he's placed into our lives. Maybe it's your job or your career. Maybe he's starting to fulfill the promises he's given to you. Thank him for those things too. Thank him for the promises. But let's turn our hearts from just seeking those things and simply release the promises back to God and to say, God, thank you, but I release them to you because we recognize that, God, it is only you that will do it. It is only in your power. It is only for the glory of your Son. And I mean, God wants to bless us too, right? I mean, it's not that he doesn't want to. But in all the blessing in the Bible that you see, many blessings, great blessings come so that he will be glorified to the nations. The parable I always remember is Peter, when Jesus goes and tells Peter, cast his boat out to the water, and he preaches. And after he preaches, he tells Peter, let down your nets. And Peter puts down his nets, even though he caught nothing all night. He brings it up, and it's so full, absolutely full. But the amazing thing about that parable to me, it wasn't so much that God was faithful, but the circumstance in which he did it. He didn't do it for Peter when Peter was by himself, or when he was just one-on-one with Peter. He did it when the crowds were looking. He did it when everyone was listening to him teach. And so Peter's blessing actually was a blessing to all those who sought after him. And so let's really give our dreams, our visions, the promises of God back to him. And say, God, you do it so that you will be glorified. So let's really worship God. Stumble again, I'm caught in your
justice and praise. Become my embrace to love you from the inside out. A thousand times I felt so your mercy remains, and should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith. And my heart and my soul, justice and praise, become my embrace to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to out of my soul, it cries out from the inside out of my soul, it cries out from the inside out of my soul, it cries out to you.
Let's continue to pray, huh? Let's really ask God. God, will your will be done in my life, that your glory will come. Let's pray. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's ask God to heal those with suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for the families. Let's pray for the Lord's covering. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also in need of Jesus as well. Let's really pray that God will bring His spirit of conviction and also His healing over them as well. Let's pray that God opens their eyes and ears so they will get to know Him. Let's pray. pray for those in our community suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's really pray for God's healing and providence over their lives as well. Pray for those in a community looking for work. Let's really pray for God's favor over them. Let's really pray that God will initiate something for them, that they can walk into the fullness of their destiny. Let's really pray. Turn to our community focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Let's really pray for Hyunsu and Chloe as they're taking over, and you know the training wheels are off. So let's really pray for favor, wisdom, and direction. Let's pray for Jesse, one of our M's up there. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, all M's there, and also the churches there. Let's really pray for God to turn China into a God-fearing nation. Let's pray. So we pray for the board. Let's lift up everyone on the board and their families. Let's pray for protection covering over them. Let's pray for wisdom and making decisions. And really pray for God's favor in their lives as well as they serve this church. Pray for the hospitality ministries. Let's pray for Welcome Barista. Pray for the leaders and ministers. Let's really pray for God's direction over these ministries as well, and just to see how we can better serve our church. And so let's really lift up. The men's, women's, and young adult ministries. Lift up Tyler, Amanda, and Kenny. Let's pray that there will be such fruitful times in their meetings, and that through these ministries, people will really come to know God, become disciples of Jesus. Up Shanti, our mission trip this coming week. Let's really pray for John and Godwin. Let's pray for God's anointing to fall on everyone who's going to be going to Shanti. Let's pray for the kids that God is really going to open their eyes, you know, maybe to reveal himself to them in dreams and visions, especially to those with Muslim backgrounds. So let's really pray. Let's really pray for God's faithfulness to come through. Let's lift up the DeVal Youth Mission Trip led by Pine. Let's really pray for travel mercies. Let's pray for favor and anointing over their team as they serve. Let's pray for protection as well as they're going to spiritual battles. Let's really pray for God's covering and that God will deliver and to bring fruitfulness over this team. Over each of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can take joy, hope, and encouragement, Lord, knowing that you have the best for us. And so, God, help us, Lord, to continue to surrender ourselves to you in that will. And God, to look at every opportunity, Lord, as an opportunity to meet with you and to be a witness, God, to this world. So, Lord, I lift up my friends, God. I pray, God, will you be faithful to your word in their lives? God, you will prosper them, you will bless them, that you will raise them up, God, to be leaders in this world, so that, God, they can be the salt and the light, God, so that others around them will see, God, who you are through them. And I pray, Lord, for us as a church, God, that that will be our first mandate, God. Lord, we don't pray, Lord, and do the things that we do, Lord, to get ahead. We do the things that we do, Lord, so that you will get ahead. And that you will be praised. You will be seen, God. Father, help us, God. More of you, Lord. More of you. So, Lord, will you bless my friends here today, God, Lord? And will you bless the works of their hands? Father, will you release your full anointing over them? God, protect their families, God. Bless their relationships, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys and have a great day.